coming into a season in the body of Christ than no other. And what I'm sharing is not just for you, it is for everybody that cares to listen. For many, it is a season that we've been crying out for. It's a season we've been praying and interceding for. We're coming into a season of great release, great promotion, great increase, great expansion for many. For others, it will be a season of great prosperity. All right, nobody wants it, so. Well, that's how God's people are. A million hear the word, only one lives and gets the reward. I hope you'll be the one that gets the reward. I hope you'll be the one that receives and does something about what you hear. I am seeing a season where many people will step into their destiny. And those that have been walking in their destiny, God is about to expand them. God is about to increase them. God is about to bring promotion to many people. It's a level of increase. It's a level of promotion. It's a level of what you've been calling wealth transfer than has ever happened before. What the Lord is about to do in the body is so big. What he's about to do to his people is so huge that history, probably the last time such proportions of transfer ever happened is when the Israelites plundered the Egyptians. There is a greater increase that is coming. There is a greater promotion that is coming. But more so, what I want to share with you is that the enemy is aware about the promises of God over your life. The enemy is aware. About what God wants to do. Well, heaven is releasing the greatest level of increase and promotion you've ever seen. There's also been an unprecedented release of the demonic in the spirit realm. Did you hear me? There's also been an increased level of the demonic that has been released. Hell is aware of the intentions of heaven over your life. There is an assignment to delay. There is an assignment to abort and miscarry the promises of God over your lives. Probably the sad part that grieves my spirit is I can see the level of grace, the level of abundance, the level of promotion God is releasing, but I can see also that many people are going to miscarry, are going to abort, they're not going to carry through the promises of God. And I do not say this with any delight or excitement. I say this with greater grief in my heart. The enemy of your destiny does not want you to walk in the fullness of what the Lord has prepared for you. He will cause many to miscarry the promises of God. He will cause many to abort the promises of God. And I pray you should pray that the Lord gives you grace . And this is explained why most of you, over the last few weeks, you've been experiencing extraordinary pressure over your lives. You've been experiencing a tightening. Some of you, the tightening you've been experiencing has been in the finances. Mostly so we could be focused on worrying and lose the focus and the goal of what you're supposed to be looking at. And for some of you, you've been feeling like all your enemies discovered your phone number and your address all at once. And you are feeling overwhelmed because you are facing an onslaught from every direction. There is a greater release. There is a higher level of promotion. There is a greater breakthrough that is coming for you. But you will need to be able to stand the testing, the trials, the challenges that are coming your way. Jesus said to the disciples, I think Matthew 26:41. Pray that you do not fall into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I think when Jesus told them to pray so that they may not fall into temptation, it is for obvious reasons. Number one, temptation was coming. Trials were coming. And when those trials come, there's one of the two things that was bound to happen. The most likely one is they're going to fall, they're going to succumb, they're going to yield to the difficulties, to the testing, to the proving. Probably the most accurate way was pray that you do not be tested. More, the answer is not that you are not tested, but that you pass the test. They were about to see the greatest fulfillment of the promises of God. The fullness of the kingdom of God come because of the Messiah who lays down his life and comes back to life. But in the midst of all that, they were all going to fall away. So here's a quick key. The Spirit is willing. The Spirit is able. The Spirit can. But the flesh can't. The key to this season is if you walk by the Spirit, you will overcome. You will excel. You will prevail. You will make it. You will inherit. You will pass the test. But if you walk in the flesh, you will definitely not gonna make it. You will fall short. Am I making sense to anybody? It's pretty much what I've been sharing with you over the last few weeks. But we gotta come to a place where we begin to develop our spirit man and walk in our spirit nature. Because what God is about to do is spiritual and can only be achieved spiritually. Making sense to anybody? Must have been probably about a week or more ago. I did have an encounter, the kind of I've never had before. Most of the encounters is you have an encounter with God or with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. But this particular night, I had an encounter with a demon, which manifested in my room as I was sleeping, like, okay, it's a demon, a spirit. It was a big demon, and it was very furious. It was very angry. Because it wanted to attack me, but it could not touch me. I'm sharing this so that you don't walk away from here and feel all demons are up to get me. Yes, they are, but that's besides the point. The point is, in this journey, in this battle, you're not fighting it alone. I had an experience that is in Job 1 when the devil said to the Lord, have you not blessed him and built a hedge around him that I cannot touch him? In that encounter, I could feel there was a hedge around me and he could not touch me. In this season, the Lord has issued the command. He will not touch you, but he will touch everything around you. So if you are walking in the flesh and your focus is on things around you, you will be swayed. Are you understanding? And this thing tried very hard, and it became furious, and as it became furious, it became like a flaming fire, but it could not touch me. And it started yelling and screaming, and it just poofed off like a smog of smoke. And what I could see is I could not see the spirit anymore, but what I could see is smoke. And the idea was, seeing that spirit not being able to touch me, it gave me a level of confidence and courage. But when it displayed this smoke screen, I could not see it. So the uncertainty about that is not being able to see, but being aware it's there. And I would say to myself, I can't see, but I know it's gone and it can't touch me. So part of what is coming in this season is a level of confusion. There's a certain level of confusion that is coming that most people are under. And this confusion is designed to make people abort their promises, miscarry the promises of God over their lives. Because it is in this confusion, while God has called people to go to the left, they'll be so confused they'll be going to the right. Am I making sense to somebody? So one of the things, probably I can just quickly share this to help you process what I'm talking about. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to read from 20. I'll read 20 and 21. From the Passion Translation, it says, "Behold, I am standing at the door, knocking." I know as an evangelist, that's the favorite scripture for leading people to the Lord. But he is saying this to the church. He says, "Behold, I'm standing on the door knocking." The Hebrew expression of that is, "Behold, I have been standing on the door knocking." Giving an impression that he just didn't show up, he's been doing it for a while. And while he's been standing on that door, he has been knocking. And he continues on to say, "If your heart is open to hear my voice, and you open the door within, I will come into you and feast with you, and you will feast with me." So there's just a few things I want to quickly share there. What has he been doing? Standing on the door, knocking, trying to get your attention, trying to get you to open. But there is a sequence of events that has to happen. As he stands on that door and knocks, you gotta be able to hear his voice. So that means he's not just knocking on the door, but he is also speaking. Because if all he was doing was knocking, then he would not be expecting you to hear his voice. Do you get that? So he is knocking and speaking at the same time. And what he says is, one thing that has to happen first, you gotta open the door of your heart before you can open the outer door. Now, if he's knocking, the imagery there is he's knocking at a door that has to be opened from inside. This door has to be opened from within. So if this door has to be opened from within, meaning it is entirely up to you whether he gets in or not, because the onus is on you to hear the voice and to choose to open the door. Now, in the Jewish imagery that Jesus is making here, he's making a picture of a Jewish wedding. Because in a Jewish wedding, the bridegroom and his father and his company would go to the house of the bride, and they would stand at the door and knock. So the bridegroom and his father would also be carrying a cup of wine. So what he's saying is, him and the father and the wine, who's the Holy Spirit, are right by your door knocking. And that is a way of also a wedding proposal. So if the girl accepts the proposal, she'll open the door wide open. And then the bridegroom would carry her home. So what he's saying here is merely just knocking. What he's saying here is a marriage proposal, is a romance proposal, is an invitation to greater intimacy. It's not an invitation to salvation. It's an invitation for something more. It's an invitation to more. So you could choose to open the door wide open, which will say to him, yes, I want to marry you. Yes, take me home with your father. Yes, take me with you. Yes, I want to be with you. Yes, I want to spend my whole life with you. Yes, take me to the bridegroom's chambers. And that's the same imagery you see in Songs of Solomon chapter 5 verse 2, where the bridegroom is knocking on her door. And as he knocks on her door, Her heart is pounding and racing with great anticipation in knowing he is right outside. The greater, most incredible part is when he says, I'm standing at the door knocking. The bridegroom never goes to the bride by himself. Who does he come with? The father. Who else? The groomsman. Who are those? The host of heaven. So the emphasis is not about the demonic that has been released against your destiny. The emphasis is not about the demonic that have been released to bring delay or to bring abortion or to bring miscarriage to the promises. The emphasis is he is coming for you. But whether you get through it depends on your ability to open your doors wide open. Because on your own, you are not going to make it. Are you understanding? Verse 21 says, you see, this is more a sentence that sounds more out of context. And to the one who conquers, I will give the privilege of sitting with me on my throne, just as I conquered and I sat down with my father on his throne. How do we move from the wedding feast to conquering? How do we move from the invitation of him knocking on the door to you overcoming? Because in what he is doing, there will be opposition. In what he's doing, there will be hindrances. In what he's doing, there will be discouragements. On the promises that God has given some of us, we will feel discouraged. We will feel like giving up. We will feel like just hanging up the heart. But the promise is not to those that respond, but to those that overcome. It's talking to him who overcomes, him who is victorious. And the statement there is, present continuous, which means you didn't overcome just once. You weren't victorious just once. You were victorious repeatedly, continually, on ongoing. That means you won yesterday and you gotta win today. And you're going to win tomorrow. And you're going to win the day after. And you're going to win the day after that. Because the throne, victory, belongs to those that overcomes. So for those of you that overcome, you're going to experience the greatest level of promotion. For those of you that will overcome, you're going to experience the greatest level of wealth transfer. Those of you that overcome, you're going to experience the greatest level of elevation, of increase, of abundance. You're going to experience the greatest level of elevation. The key is to overcome. And he's not asking you to do something he hasn't done. He's saying, to those that overcome, I shall grant to sit on my throne just like I overcame. What did he do? He overcame. And he seated on the Father's throne. So I say, there's a level of confusion that will cause many to abort the promises. And the other spirit, the other agitation that is coming and is come, and we've been talking about this for a while, is a level of offense. Many of you will be disconnected from your calling because you are offended. Many will be disconnected from their promises because they are offended. Is anybody listening? You see, because for some of you, your breakthrough is connected to the person you are offended with. Your breakthrough is connected to the person you are offended with. We've been talking about God doesn't just do it in your life. He sends a man in your life. He sends a person. But we are offended with the person he has sent to us. And this is why for some of us, our lives have been going round and round and round and round and round the circle. Because we are too proud to humble ourselves and crawl back to wherever we need to crawl back to and seek reconciliation, seek forgiveness. Are you hearing me, church? I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to everybody listening to me or watching over this or that will be listening to this. Confusion and offense. Some of you are even offended with God. If our grief, if our brokenness, if our loss have caused us a grief and a disappointment with God, then where will your salvation come from? Where will your help come from? Some of us, you see, God sent us to be in a certain place, and we are offended with that place, so we are in another place. You will have incredible opportunities to be offended. You will have incredible opportunities to move on and do something else. You see, the body of Christ has got a lot of promises from the Lord. And what I've heard over the years among Christians is that, "Pastor, the Lord has spoken to me to do this." Okay, very well. And 3 weeks later, they are nowhere to be seen. They have disappeared. The Lord has put this on my heart. 2 days later, they're in a heap somewhere. And then you begin to wonder. Number one, did the Lord speak to them? Number two, have they allowed offense to separate them from the promise that God just gave them? Probably the next thing, I'll just spend a few moments sharing with you. I'm just going to read from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Every one of you there? I told you what's coming. Now I'm giving you the key. How are you going to survive this? Verse 4. Verse 4 says, whoever, which one? Does that make an exclusion? Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. Okay, maybe read it in your own Bibles. 1, 2, 3, go. Why aren't the rest of you reading? Come on. 1, 2, 3, read. Looks like I'm talking to a few wind watchers. I don't know if I am conveying what I need to do adequately or if you're understanding what I'm saying. Because your life in this season depends on it. Because the other thing I was seeing in this season, even veteran, well-established, well-known ministers in this season, some of them are going to fall. Some will burn out. Some will have to make a choice between family and ministry. I And you gotta understand, wherever there is promotion, there is also demotions. Did anybody hear that? Well, that means in this season, some people will be elevated and others will be demoted. Some people will rise and others will fall. I'm talking about even among established preachers and pastors. Some people, the lamp will be quenched and others will rise. And I pray that you be the one whose flame won't be extinguished. His flame is going to go bigger and hotter. I pray that you be one of those that whose territory and influence the Lord will enlarge and not shrink. All right. However, whoever watches the wind, where is the wind? The wind speaks of seasons. The wind speaks of times. So what he's saying is, for people that look at the seasons and times, will fail to recognize what is happening in the spirit. And this is the same part about the spirit is willing, because wind can also be the spirit. But in this particular context, we're talking about the seasons and times. So whoever is looking at the seasons, whoever is looking at the times, will fail to respond to what the Lord is doing in the spirit. Because what he's doing is not natural that can be determined by the winds. It's not natural that it could be determined by the signs. It is spiritual. And whoever watches the cloud speaks of provision, speaks of circumstances, speaks of situations. So the round heart there is, whoever is led by times and seasons, situations and circumstances, their needs and things around their lives, they're not going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Is anybody understanding? Like I've been saying, as a body, as an individual, it is more imperative now than ever that you begin to develop your spiritual sight. That we begin to learn to look at the world around us with through the eyes of the Spirit. Because when we are looking through the natural eyes, with what we see in the natural, it's going to make us to choose certain paths over the paths he's planned for us. If we fail to see with the spirit eyes, we'll be making choices and decisions based on the natural circumstances around us. Based on the things we see, or based on the things we don't see. Our lives become circumstance driven, not spirit driven. Because, like I said, there's going to be incredible testing and proving for some people. If we make our choices based on what we see in the natural, we will misinterpret the testing and the difficulties we are going through as it's time to close the business, or it's time to move shop, or it's time to move on, or it's time to do something else. And that's how many people have moved on to something else, because they are interpreting what they should do based on the circumstances around them. Your circumstances should never determine what you do or how you do what you do. There are people that will be probably planning on moving states, towns, because they didn't get a job in one town. You move because the Spirit of the Lord told you to move. You don't move because you perceive favorable circumstances elsewhere. Am I making sense to somebody? Actually, that was a word for somebody. John 3. Jesus talks to Nicodemus and says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it's coming from or where it is going. So it is with everybody who is born of the Spirit. That our anchoring is on our birthright, because we are spirit beings. As a spirit being, your life is not determined by where the wind is blowing, but your life is determined by what you hear in the Spirit. Your life is determined by what you see in the Spirit. And this is in a place where most of the choices we make are based on what we feel. Today, I don't feel like going to church, so I won't go to church. Today, I don't feel like praying, so I'm not going to pray. Today, I don't feel like getting out of bed, so I'm not going to get out of bed. Well, what we feel is valid. Our lives are driven by what we see. Begin to develop your spiritual sight so we can choose, decide, walk according to what we see him doing in the spirit realm, not what we feel or see in the natural realm. Because most often, what we feel in the natural is contrary to what God is saying in the spirit. It's contrary to what is happening in the spirit. So don't watch the winds. Watch the wind. As we know in the natural, when the winds are blowing from this direction, it's about to storm. When the cloud is over this and that color, it's about to rain. You see, the rain of the Spirit is different to the natural rain. If you're looking for the natural cloud to see the natural rain, you'll miss it. And here's the thing. By the time you see an indication in the natural, it's too late. By the time you see an indication in the natural, the battle has already been lost. Elijah says to Ahab, "It is about to rain heavily. Run, go home." What evidence of rain was there? There was hardly evidence. It was a little fist. But had he waited until the full cloud came, he would have not made it home. That's what I mean. By the time you see the signs, it's too late. First Corinthians chapter 2, I'll read 14 to 16. It says, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him and cannot be and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment." Did anybody get that? What that means is a spiritual man lives by another set of rules. It was like I just spoke to myself. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things. How many things that the spiritual man make judgments on? But he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. He himself is not subject to any natural judgment. Because the rules you live by when you walk in the Spirit are different to the rules they live by when they walk in the natural. Because when we walk in the Spirit, we call things that are not as though they are. When we walk in the Spirit, it doesn't matter which way the wind is blowing. If I want it to rain, it will rain. If I walk in the Spirit, it doesn't matter whether it is rain season or not. It doesn't matter whether there is a cloud of rain or not. All I need is the little fist and I call rain. As a spirit being, there is no yesterday, there is no today, there's no tomorrow. It is one and the same. I can reach out to the past and correct my mistakes and reach out to the future and bring my harvest. As a spirit man, I don't have to live my life bound to, "You don't know what I've done. You don't know the mistakes I've made." Well, let's just reach out to yesterday and reach out into your mistakes and make them like they never happened. As a spiritual being, you are boundless. You are limitless. So what matters as a spiritual being is not what is happening around you, it is what is happening within you. Because what is happening inside me impacts, affects, and changes and transforms everything around me. As a natural man, what happens around you touches you. What happens around you impacts you, informs you. But you inform what happens to the spirit in the natural. As a spirit man, it doesn't tell you when it's going to rain. You tell it when it's going to rain. Just like Elijah said, for the next 3 years, well, it's not going to rain until I say so. Until who? God says so? Did you just get it? It's not going to rain until I say so. Not the angels, no Jesus, no Elijah, until he says so. And people would cry out, rain, rain, God, rain. Well, talk to Elijah. I don't know. When we get to a place of understanding that in him you move, when we begin to understand that in him we have our being, then we begin to unlock dominion. We begin to rule the worlds around us and not the other way. It is time you began talking to those closed doors in your lives. It is time you began to rebuke those stubborn spirits in your destiny. It is time you began to prophesy to every spirit that is standing in your way. Because things become what you say. And not you becoming what they dictate. It is time somebody picked up the mantle of Ezekiel and found a valley of dry bones and started to prophesy. Speak to your dryness. Speak to the emptiness. Speak to whatever it is. It is time somebody began to see what he sees. See, the key thing about seeing you can have whatever you see. How much can you have? And that's what God said to Abraham. You walk the length and the breadth of this land. Whatever you can see, I'll give it to you and your children's children for an inheritance. How much was he going to get? Whatever he could see. And that's the handicap about not being able to see, because you have nothing. How much are you going to have if you can't see? You can't have what you can't see. So let's begin to look to him. Let's begin to exercise our spirit man and stop watching the winds and start watching his spirit. That's what Jesus did. He said, I can do nothing on my own. All I can do is whatever I see the Father do. His number one agenda every morning is to look around and see what the Father was doing. Like I said, if you can see your trials, then you've also seen your victory. Does that make sense to anybody? If you can see your trials, then you can also see your victory. This is probably the place in my life I've stayed at the longest. How long have we been here? 9 years. So on average, in the past, I've stayed in a place 3 years. So 9 years will be 3-4. And in these 9 years, we've had several meetings in the spirit whether we should move on. And the first time we had that meeting in the spirit, should we move on? The Lord said, buy a house. Not that I'm bound to houses. When I came to this country, I only had one suitcase. So I don't care much about houses. And then we had another opportunity. You see, it's not me deciding, should I go? It is a boardroom in heaven deciding. And we're told, stay. And the thing is, here people come, people go. It'll be easy to be discouraged, but the incredible thing is, You gotta see what I see. You gotta see what I see. You gotta see what heaven sees that keeps on saying heaven to say stay. This is not the church. This is training wheels. When the Lord says access church, this band here is not the church that I saw. And in the midst of anything and everything that happens, what keeps me steady is the church that I see. This one says this, this one says that, this one says that. What keeps me level-headed is the church that I see. The church that I see, every now and then over here, we have little tests and samples. This one is going to there, that one is going to there. If only they could see what I see. And the lesson is that goes with all relationships. How people live, how we go, how we separate matters. Because sooner or later, somebody will have to humbly crawl back because their breakthrough was left behind. The church that I see you've not seen anything like it in Australia yet. The church that I see, mark my words, sits 10 to 15,000 people. And the church that I see has got dwelling complex for people that come from all over the world for healing and deliverance to stay in. That's the access church that I see, which is a portal for encounter, healing, deliverance, an access point for you to reach out and receive from heaven. If you didn't know why it's called access church. Every now and then you see snippets, you see pieces, you see little bits in there. This is a transition point. So when it's time to go stay, the choice I'm given is, do I want to see that happen here or somewhere else? Because that's in me. I can carry it with me wherever he sends me. Did anybody get that? Where do we see it manifest? So if we are to be led by the winds and the clouds, we'll choose one option or one decision. And I'm sure the church that I see and the church that you're seeing, they're very different churches. All right, let's stand.